It's excellent to see everybody. And ironically, the two things you were just saying about statistics and about being a mute directly bring us to tonight's Mishnah. This week is the focus on the fifth parak of Pirkei Avos, which is really the last parak of Mishnayos Avos. The sixth parak is a collection of brisos, which I'll have a chance to take a look next week. That sixth parak is traditionally learned with Avos, but from the point of view of Mishnayos, there are five prakim, and this is the last parak. And the focus shifts dramatically in the fifth parak in content and in form. A number of the early Mefarshim point out that while the first four prakim were divrei musar through and through, or were advice for life and advice and insight on how to change and improve oneself, the fifth parak has a much broader focus. And moreover, what strikes us right away is that the organizational scheme of the fifth parak is the format is totally different. You know, the first four prakim, every single mishnah began with the name of a particular tana, who would say the following idea. As a matter of fact, the first parak in particular traces the chain of masora from Rebbe to Talmud. The second parak, to an extent, as well. You come to the fifth parak, there are very few names. You don't really hear things the names of tanaim in this parak. Instead, the prakim still have a notable way to begin, but rather than names of tanaim, it's numbers. This is the parak of numbers. And the numbers, it's pretty clear. Medrash Shmuel points this out. You look at the Mishnayos, you notice immediately that the parak is organized, a host of different topics, organized by the numbers. So you have a whole series, and in descending order, a whole series of tens, and then a whole series of sevens, and then fours, and then threes. And then finally, the very end of the parak, you have pairs, sort of opposing pairs, twos, if you will. And then the parak ends with the list of ages, the famous Mishnah, Ben Chamish LeMikra, Ben Esra LeMishnah, and so on and so forth. This sort of brings many different numbers together in the context of a person's development. I want to take a look at the first seven. It's in different prints of Mishnayos will be different numbers because different editions of Avos break up the Mishnayos in different ways. The two editions I have in front of me actually have it as Mishnah Zayin. The seventh Mishnah is the first one about seven. The first six Mishnayos are all the tens. The Asara Mamoros and the Asara Doros and the Asara Nisyonos and so on and so forth. And then Mishnah Zayin turns its attention to the Shiva Dvarim Begolam and Shiva Dvarim Bechacham. Seven features of a someone who's a golem versus one who is a chacham. And Rev is what unique Davis. Mishnah Tes. So I'm not sure. I think it is the fact that different editions have different breakdowns of Mishnayos. It is an interesting point. I think it is unique to Avos. You find it rarely in other Masechtas. Every once in a while, let's say the way Mishnayos were printed in Gemara may be different. Every once in a while, you have a parak where the way it's printed, all the Mishnayos, the whole parak, are printed at the beginning. Whereas you open a Mishnayos, it'll be broken down. But yeah, I think it's much more prevalent in Avos and elsewhere. Perhaps because Avos were printed so often outside of the context of Mishnayos, outside of the context of Shas, just in the Siddur, sort of as a freestanding sefer. So I think that's why different breakdowns developed. Yeah, I think it is primarily an Avos phenomenon. And then we turn our attention to the content here. Turn our attention to the content, but it is important, the point you make, and when you're reading something, you're looking up something about Mishnah and Avos, it's important to realize that the number you're looking at might not be the number that, just a big, important practical bibliographical note. But now let's jump in, ironically, talking about numbers in the context of the Perek of Numbers. And the intriguing point that Rav Arya Levine makes, that Tzaddik of Yerushalayim, Rav Arya Levine, wrote a Pirush on Pirkei Avos, which is largely an anthology. But he chose a curated collection of so many hundreds, perhaps thousands of Pirushim on Avos. And each Mishnah, each piece of Mishnah, he picked the one or two Pirushim that he wanted to include. And he's drawing from a wide array of Svarim. He points out his opening comment on this Mishnah is not clear whether this comment is his own or he's quoting the Ugas Eliyahu, who was a Rhodesian Talmud Chacham who moved to Egypt in the 1700s. So he makes the point that the transition from the first six or the first eight Mishnais, the tens, to the Shiva Devarim Golem, it's not only about the numbers. It's not only that up until then we're talking all the ideas that have to do with 10, and now we're moving to 7. But it's that the tens were largely about the Ribbono Shlom. The tens were largely Maaseh Hashem. They're talking about clearly opening with Briyas Ha'olam, Asar Mos Nivra Ha'olam, and about the Doros from Adam to Noach, from Noach to Avram. The Mishnah makes a point that it was it shows HaKadosh Baruch Hu's patience. So many cut humanity so much slack, 10 Doros. Right. And then the Asar Nisyonos and Snas Avram Avinu, but still Nisyonos presented by the Ribbono Shlom. The Nisim they've done for Jewish people in Mitzrayim, the Nisim at the Midbar, at the Yam Suf, and the Nisim they've done for Klal Yisrael and the Beis HaMikdash. Then we talk more about the Bria, Asar Dvarim Nivru Be'erev Shabbos Bein Hashmashos, all about Maaseh Hashem. All about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hanhaga with the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hanhaga with us. In this Mishnah, the Shiv Dvarim B'Chacham, the Shiv Dvarim B'Golem, not only shifts from 10 to 7, but it shifts from focusing on Hagas Hashem to a focus on Hanhagas B'nei Adam. Because this Mishnah is no longer what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do to us, but it's about a more classical focus of Mishnayos Avos. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu expect of us? And but in the sort of the new format of the fifth parak, this Mishnah gives us a very broad lens. While up until this point, typically the memories, the statements in Avos, each one was sort of focusing on a particular nakuda. Here we begin to put many midos into context. And I want to just read this Mishnah with you. A fascinating Mishnah. Shiva Dvarim B'Golem, the Shiva B'Chacham. Seven features of a golem, of a person who's a golem. We don't mean a humanoid that was created from soil. But literally, golem is an unformed hunk of material. When you learn Mishnayos Chulin, Mishnayos Kelim, so we've got golmei klei mateches, a golem of a metal tool means that it's a metal tool, a cup, a bowl, a screwdriver, what have you, which hasn't been fully formed. It's still in its raw form. I made the cup, I gave a basic shape of a cup, but I haven't finished all the fine tuning yet, all the fine tooling. So a golem is an unformed hunk of material. So a person could be a chacham, and apparently the opposite of a chacham, very fascinating, is an unformed person. I haven't yet crafted myself. I haven't yet developed, cultivated nuance. I'm still sort of in rough form. Am I a golem or am I a chacham? That the fact that those two are opposites, that's already fascinating. And what are these seven things? Chacham, the Mishnah presents it positively because the Chacham focuses on the seven which the Chacham have, and then at the end we say the goal for the golem, it's the opposite of these seven. So what are these seven positive features? Chacham ain't a dabber if neimishu galal man b'chacham. A Chacham would not speak before in the presence of someone who's wiser than he. If I'm the presence of someone who's wiser, I'll keep my mouth shut and I should let him speak. If I'm a Chacham, that's what I would do. Number two. A chacham wouldn't interrupt other people. Someone else is speaking, you let him finish. Eino nivah lahashiv. A chacham is not in a rush to respond. You respond when you're ready. Shoel ki'inyan, umeshiv kahalacha. And my questions and my answers are on target. My questions are on point, not asking non sequiturs. My answers are kahalacha. Whether literally you ask a chacham halachic shayla, he gives you the correct halachic response. The Mishnah may also mean that as an expression more generally, will answer properly and accurately. Al rishon rishon, the omer al rishon rishon al achar achar. If the chacham, if multiple topics are raised, the chacham will answer the first topic, answer, respond in order. So Chazal point out, right, that the discussion in Chumash Bereishis is at the be'er, right? Several questions are asked, and she responds in order. Amashlo shama, omer lo shamati. When I ask a chacham a question, if he doesn't know the answer, he'll say, I don't know, I haven't heard. Omoda al ha'emes. And he's able to admit the truth. The chilufehim begolem. So these are the seven features of the chacham. And the reverse of these seven are the features of a golem. A golem will jump into speech, will open his mouth and when there's someone wiser in the conversation who is more to add. The golem will interrupt others and will respond precipitously. And his questions and answers are often off target and off topic. And he'll respond in an unsequenced way. And he won't be ready to say, I don't know. And he won't admit the truth. Just pshutan shel dvarim. And if we could be zochet to mekayim this Mishnah, we would be in good shape. We don't know who the Stam Tan is who said this, but this Mishnah is full of wisdom. And I want to share, and we could just go home right now. Ramchal says in the opening chapter of Mesilas Yesharim, which is, Chaim Volozhiner is reported by Chaim Volozhiner's Talmidim, Rizundel of Salant, his report of having said, all the Sifrei Musar are worth learning, but Mesilas Yesharim should be your guide. What's the opening line of Mesilas Yesharim? Opening paragraph? He says, I don't have a lot to tell you that you don't already know. The main goal of my Sefer is to review the things that we know but tend to forget, and it's often the things that we know best and need most that we somehow get lost and get put to the side when we need them. So often the most important muster is reviewing the things that we know but need to implement. So just to chazer this Mishnah, we chazer this Mishnah once a month, we'll be in good shape. And let me share with you maybe the idea that Rabbi Levine quotes from the Ugas Elyo. This aspect is from the Ugas Elyo, pretty sure. It's hard to tell if he's quoting the Ugas Elyo or he's quoting the Nishmas Chaim. He says the following. He says, these aren't only a collection of seven important features of a chacham, but there's a sequence to them as well. There's a progressive sequence. And he opens with a contrapositive. If A, then B. So if not B, then not A. He says, if every Balgaiva is a fool, because fundamentally to be arrogant bespeaks folly. It's ridiculous. If I'm a mammon, it's absurd to be arrogant. And arrogance breeds stupidity. Arrogance breeds folly. So he says, that's how he opens. He says, if every geya is a shota, then by contrapositive, if you're not a shota, you must not be a geya. If you're a chacham, you must be an anav. If you're a chacham, you must be an anav. Since every balgaiv is a shota, every chacham is an anav. Or maybe even to choose the language of the Mishnah, every gay is a shota, at the very least every gay is a golem. So then every chacham is an anav. So that's why he says, the Mishnah opens right away. If he's a chacham, he must be an anav. it's going to be expressed. If I can cultivate myself to become an unav, so I'm certainly going to notice that's when someone else is greater than I. I'll have the when my ego is not overinflated, it gives me the capacity to see things as they are. Pikchus, anava is a necessary prerequisite to pikchus. Perhaps that's another way of saying this. Yeah. Our Rav is certainly one of the great illustrations of that. That anava is a necessary prerequisite for pikchus. When one's ego is not inflated, so then I'm able to see things as they are, and I can begin to. It's the first step towards wisdom. So as he says. A chacham would not necessarily be an anav. So eino medaber fi misha galamim b'chachma. So the basics. If someone is wiser than I, if I'm an anav, I can see that. So of course, let him speak. He has more to say. He has wiser things to say than I. Maybe I'll speak after. Maybe I'll respond. But I wouldn't. Dive in to need to say the first to have the first word or to have the last word with someone wiser, and then he goes on to say, once I develop that, once my anava gives me the capacity to hold back when someone else is wiser, let him speak. So even if the next step is once I have that capacity, that gevura to hold back, and to not just say everything that comes to mind the moment it comes to mind, then not only will I not speak b'fnei misha gadol menu, but even someone who's not gadol meni, but he's speaking. At the very least, I won't interrupt. That's step two. Eino nichnas toch divrei chaveiro. And then he goes on to say, and as that midah grows, and I further develop my capacity to hold back, to not immediately say, it's not always say what I'm thinking. Even when it's appropriate for me to speak, I don't feel the need to speak right away. I'll think, and then I'll respond. And as we know, that also generates a lot of chachma. Those who have, those of us who have had the schus to spend time with the Rabbi Meir Twersky Shlita, so you see that midah. We often talk about, you know, thinking before you speak. He actually thinks before he speaks, and it pays off because what he says is exceptionally wise. But the way Rabbi Levine is tracing it, it's developing this capacity, this gevura, to not need to speak the moment I have what to say. I'm not going to speak. And it may begin with not speaking b'fnei mishagal men b'chachma. And it progresses to not speaking when someone else is speaking. And we all are struggle with that. We always say, someone else is speaking, but I'm ready, jumping to what I have to say. Now, we might argue that also not only is an effect of chachma, but it may also generate chachma. Because we learned previously in Avos, if I'm always jumping to speak and I'm already focused, if I'm interrupting other people, it means that when someone else is speaking, I'm not actually listening. I'm busy crafting what I want to say. Right? So it's both an expression of chachma and a generator of chachma to not be nichnas atoch divrei chaveiro, step two. And then, again, both an effect of chachma and a cause of chachma, eino nivel hashiv. Even when no one else is speaking, it's my turn to speak, I consider, not a rush. And that, of course, will generate number four. If I'm not in a rush to speak, and I speak b'mesinos, I speak deliberately, so then I'm set up to have wise things to say. My content will be far superior if I'm not rushing. Then I'm shoal k'inyan, umeshir k'alacha. My questions will be on point. My responses will be substantive and accurate. And then he says, not only will my content be good, but I'll develop an increasingly organized mind. so that the way I sequence things, the way I present my ideas, my organization, will also be logical. Rishon Rishon, or Achron Achron. And then he says, maybe this flows from going in order, going sequentially. And maybe in the large, I would suggest also, this is an even higher madrega of anava, because he's been sort of crafting this as the chachma is driven by anava. Is what appears here at the near the end of the list, and appears as well, one of the first, perhaps the first Devar Musar in Shas, beginning of Masachas Brachas. I believe it's Reb Zera who tells us, Lamed Lashon Cholomer Eini Odea, Shema Tizbada V'Seachis. One needs to habituate himself. Get comfortable saying, I don't know. Because if you can't say, I don't know, sooner or later, Tizbada V'Seachis. Sooner or later, if I always feel the need to have an answer, sooner or later, I'll be making things up. Because no one has the answer to everything. So if I don't get comfortable, if I don't develop, cultivate the habit of saying, I don't know, certainly those of us who have had the privilege and pleasure of spending time with Rav Schechter, he says, I don't know, the man who knows so much is exceptionally comfortable saying, I don't know. Ironically, so many people who know so much less have a far harder time saying, I don't know. Again, it's a Gemara. It's a Gemara in Brachas. You have to be comfortable saying, I don't know. And as Reb Zera says it explicitly, probably rooted in this Mishnah in Avos. Amash lo shama omer lo shamati. That's one of the highest levels of Chachma and one of the strongest expressions of Anava. Now, up until now, it was to the early expressions of Anava, the beginning of the Mishnah, were Shev B'Shev Al Tasa. Let someone else speak instead of me. Or let him finish before I begin. Right. Here, that's how I become vasei. I say, I don't know. That takes a lot of strength. It actually takes a lot of self-confidence. And real self-confidence is rooted in anava. Gaiva is usually an expression of a lack of self-confidence. There's a lot of puffery because there is a lack of real self-confidence. But to be a real anav, to say, I don't know. And that's emes. That's real chachma. That's as Reb Zera said. If I don't feel comfortable saying I don't know, sooner or later I'm making stuff up. Which is part of what the Mishnah says. The Mishnah says the last step is moda al ha'emes. Moda al ha'emes, to say lo shamati, is itself moda al ha'emes. I'm saying the truth. I don't know. The way Rav Arye Levine plays it out is moda al ha'emes is even the next step of not only being able to say I don't know, but further, if I said something, I realized I was wrong, to be able to go back to someone and say, by the way, I told you last time I realized I was incorrect, that's an even stronger kumvase. An even stronger kumvase of anava. It takes so much anava to be able to admit one's mistakes. And it's such chachma. And again, it's both a cause, it's both an effect and a cause of chachma. An effect and a cause of internal chachma, and it's going to lead to great pikchos, and it's going to lead to my chachma being relied upon by others. If I can be honest, so then what I say carries weight. As opposed to the golem, as opposed to the person who is not yet developed, the person who is not yet developed, who's still a golem, so he's not. The anava is not in place, and so also the human nature will have it that I feel the need to talk, and I feel the need to always, now we're all, Zoom terminology is so much a part of our thinking, right? If I'm not yet a chacham, and I'm not yet an anav, so I always feel the need to spotlight myself. So I need to speak when there's someone else who should be speaking. I need to speak right now, even though someone else is in the middle of speaking. And I need to speak the moment I have the floor. And Mimela, Now, my content is not going to be great. My organization is going to be in shambles. I'm not shol ki yimeshu kalacha. It's not going to be al rishon, rishon, achron, achron. And certainly, I'm going to need to speak and say and never look back. There's not going to be any lo shamati, and there won't be any moda al ha'emes. And so there's a real sense, to end where we began, this Mishnah really is, you know, shifting from Melechas from Hanhagas HaBore to Hanhagas Adam. This is about how we craft ourselves. After considering Godless HaBore over the first six or eight, depending on how you count them, Mishnayos of the Perek, all the tens of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, how HaKadosh Baruch Hu has patience with us, the Nisim, the Chasadim he's done for Klal Yisrael, in Mitzrayim, at the Yamsuf, in Beis HaMikdash, and the way which HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up the Bria, the things that were created at the very beginning, the Kadosh Baruch Hu in the course of Bria Sa'olam, the end of Yom HaShishi, was already setting up for different things that would happen over the course of human history. And now we say, now it's time, appreciate Kadosh Baruch Hu, and now begin to craft ourselves. And a step-by-step building of Anava and Chachma, and taking them together, and they work off of each other, and we can, over time, return to this Mishnah, and over time, begin to build ourselves and the different steps of growth that this Mishnah lays out for us. We should talk to be zocha to appreciate Maaseh Hashem and to appreciate the capacity that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us for growth, and to talk to grow with this and other Mishnayos. Chevri Yashikach.